Okay, let's pick back up at Hebrews chapter 2. Let's start at verse 5. And verse 5 proper. As we go through here, we do realize that the Hebrew is to the Hebrews, and this we what we can gain here is some understanding, some doctrine about the Lord Jesus Christ and what God has invested in him. And that's universal. That applies to members of the body of Christ or members of the nation Israel, to know what God has entrusted with to his son and who the son is. And really, that's what the Hebrew letter is for, is to show them, point them to Christ, who he is, how much better he is than what they have established. And I think the writer is, just from chapter 1, he's laid down, he's better than angels. That's a lot right there, isn't it? Well, angels are superior in knowledge, superior in strength. They're not limited. Well, they are, but they have glorified bodies. They have some knowledge of God's purpose and plan. And yet he says that he hasn't entrusted his plan to them. Jesus Christ, he's got to be somebody, doesn't he? Already. So he says in verse, into chapter 5, "For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come whereof we speak." And although he does call the angels sons of God, they are not the Son of God. I think we covered that. You know, one of the classes, and I'm sure you guys have read this before, about Isaac. When Abraham had Isaac, well, he already had Ishmael. And we were reading, and one of the guys, I had never noticed this until that day, he says that Abraham gave all that he had to Isaac. And he said that Isaac was his only begotten son. I was like, wait a minute. So, did it say that? And sure enough, he had just had Ishmael. Well, what's this guy? He said, as far as I'm concerned, that's my son. And God can say, well, no, I have sons, the angels. He said, but that's my son. That's my only begotten son. And all that I have is his. And he says, but unto the angels, for unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visiteth him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. And you can see that this is a quotation from the Psalm before Jesus Christ was incarnate, a prophecy about what God would do with his son. Not the angels, but to his son, he said that, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visiteth him. And you know what? Now, I'm just going to put this up here because it said that it's mindful. He was crowned and visited. Visited him. When he talks about that, is you think about what in eternity, what God planned to do with his son. When he talks, his mind and his focus was the eternal purpose was already determined. Where he talks about we could in Ephesians where everything is in him. But it wasn't revealed until later. Now he sprinkled hints along the way, like with Isaac and all those others down through there. But his plan and purpose was always in his son. You remember when the children of Israel, their brother had went into captivity, Joseph, and he says, I got another brother, but we can't bring him. Benjamin, you know what the scripture said about him? That we can't bring him because if something happens to him, he said, my father, he would die. Why?
He was very mindful of him.
You don't remember exactly what he said?
I'm with the boy's mother, right?
Yeah. No, but I hope I can find this. It's
that was like the apple of his eye next to Joseph, right?
Yes. I may not find this. If I don't find it in the next 30 seconds, then I'll just have to quote it to you. Was it Genesis? Yeah, it was Genesis.
What is the question?
Joseph, his brother, Benjamin, when they went in captivity, he told their brothers that he wanted to go get him. Because they said, well, we are so many brothers, but one is not here, and one is not. And he says, go get the other one. And he says, well, we can't get him, paraphrasing this. He says, if something happens to him, that it'll bring our father down to the grave. And he made a statement about him. This is why. And Ed said it. I like what Ed said. He said he was very mindful of him. And let's see. What'd you say?
What? It's going to be in 42 or 43.
42? Okay.
Or 43, somewhere in
there. Let's see. Genesis 42, verse 20. Let's see. Is that it? Let's see. Let's see, 37. Okay, well, let's look at that. It may come up here. Verse 36. I'm sorry, 42. Matter of fact, start at verse 13. He says, and they said, thy servants, they're talking to Joseph, thy servants are 12 brethren, the sons of one man in the land of Canaan. And behold, the youngest is this day with our father, and one is not. And Joseph said unto them that it is that I spake unto you, saying, ye are spies. Hereby ye shall be proved by the life of Pharaoh. Ye shall not go forth hence, except your youngest brother come hither. Send one of you, and let him fetch your brother. And ye shall be kept in prison, that your words may be proved. Whether there be any truth in you, or else by the life of Pharaoh, surely ye are spies. And he put them all together into ward 3 days. And Joseph said unto them the third day, this do and live, for I fear God. If ye be true men, let one of your brethren be bound in the house of your prison. Go ye carry corn for the famine of your houses. But bring your youngest brother unto me, so shall your words be verified, and ye shall not die. And they did so. And they said one to another, we are very guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. Therefore, this distress come upon us. Look at verse. I'm sorry. 40. That's not 42 verses?
No, chapter 42. No. She was asking me what chapter.
You're talking about 38. My son cannot go down. Right. Verse 38? Uh-huh.
Chapter
42. No. Say it again. And he said, my son shall not go down with you, for his brother is dead, and he is left alone. If mischief befall him by the way in the which ye go, ye shall then shall ye bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. That's close, but that's not it.
Can you just paraphrase?
I just found it. I'm sorry. 44:27. And thy servant, my father, said unto us, ye know that my wife bare me two sons, Joseph and Benjamin. And the one went out from me, and I said, surely he is torn in pieces, and I saw him not since. And if ye take this also from me, and mischief befall him, ye shall bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. Now therefore, when I come to thy servant, my father, and the lad be not with us, seeing that his life is bound up in the lad's life. That's what I wanted. He said, it shall come to pass when he seeth that the lad is not with us, that he will die. And thy servant shall bring down the gray hairs of thy servant, our father, with sorrow to the grave. But what I wanted was when he said this, that his life is what?
Bound
is bound up in the lad's life. I love that. When you think about God, we say, what is man, what is the son that he is mindful of him? Well, his life, his plan is bound up what? In the lad's life. Or the son's life. Everything that he wants to do or will do is bound up in the son. So his what'd you say, Ed? His he's very mindful of him. And he crowned him with glory and honor and visited him. When he crowned him, what he invested, I think Colossians says this, that in him dwelleth what? All the fullness of the Godhead. Is that crowned with glory and honor? And what is the Son of Man that thou visited him? All the while, when he's incarnate on earth, those 3.5 years, nothing could happen to him until his purpose was fulfilled. When he goes, you know, your mental scriptures where he says, and he went through the midst of them. They sought to take him, but they couldn't lay hands on him because
his time had not yet come.
Because his hour was not yet come. But God had crowned him and visited him. You know what? When God visits, you're not left the same. It's either bad or very good. And some visits are bad visits, right? And some visits are very good visits. And I think it's a verse in Psalm that says the time of their visitation, and in the psalmist called it the, I want to say the time of their deliverance. Well, God, when he visited this earth with his son, that's what Luke said. When Luke wrote, he said that Israel didn't know the time of their what?
Visitation.
He had come to deliver them. When Moses looked out on his brother, he said he went to visit them. He went to visit them to see how they were doing. And scripture said that he thought for sure that they would have known why he was visiting. But they didn't. Hebrews, back to there. He crowned him with glory and honor and did set him over the works of thy hands. What would that be? What's the works of his hand?
The whole universe.
The whole universe. You know what's interesting about when he said he crowned him? It's a word not just from who Jesus Christ is by nature, with his glory that he has already. Did I say that wrong? It's not just his glory that he has as being the Son of God, you know, that's already in him. This is something that I think this is right. You know, if I say if it's innate, you know what that means?
Born with
it. It was already in him. You remember when Mary was, when he was still in the womb, and when John the Baptist, when he came in, and she knew that which was in her was what?
Holy,
right? It was holy. So he already was crowned with glory because that holy thing that was in her was of the Holy Ghost. But this crowning is earned. He did how many? How many?
I don't know.
All. She just said, right. It's not a trick. Oh, he did them all, right? He kept. No. And but what's interesting is the word that we use for that word is the same word that we get this from, agony. No, not this word. That word. He says, thou crownest him with glory and honor and did set him over the works of thy hands. When Jesus Christ goes through his suffering and when he's resurrected, he says what?
It's finished.
After he's resurrected, then he says what? I have
all power.
Say it again.
No, it's not that.
All power is given me.
He has what? All power. What were you going to say in that?
I thought you were talking about all that you have given me. I shall not lose, but that's not.
Okay. But you know what? All power is what? He says, all power is given to me in what?
Heaven and earth.
Is that the works of his hand?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Did he set him over that? Did he set him over that?
Yes. According to Colossians.
But he says this, thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put all things in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him.
Not yet.
Well, which one is it?
Because right now, we're in a present evil world. Satan's running.
Okay, I need you to be a Hebrew right now.
That's what I'm saying. All right, so, yeah.
Think like a Hebrew.
Positionally, it's all accomplished. Practically, it's still because we're part of this plan, has to work out the balance of the...
Right, and that's what... Okay, be a Hebrew right now. I want you to think like a Hebrew, because right now he's talking to you. Just
because you're an egg.
There's no kingdom yet.
There's no...
Right, you're waiting.
They're waiting.
For their promise.
So don't think about us, because this is the letter to the what?
Hebrews.
So we want to get what he's saying to the Hebrews.
We're our Hebrew helmet.
So...
They ain't our mail.
That's right, but the learning is it should be there. So when they're walking, the first thing they want to know is if he's over this,
where is he? Where's he?
See, their program is collective, not individual. So they have to respond as a nation for him to come back.
And now we see not yet. Well, put under him. That's what the Hebrew said, right? Where is it?
They're waiting. And he says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Now, after he goes through that, he not only fulfills God's requirements, and now you what you said comes into play, where he says, "All that you've given me," you said, "What? All that you've given me,
I shall not lose."
Well, he has to. Number one, he identifies himself with the Hebrews, and he has to remove the Old Testament, which this is coming up, that he could establish the what? The new. Now, we were in class yesterday, and we were using some of the chart. But when you think of Old Testament, we know this now. What do you think of? Old Testament and the believers, I always think of
Moses and
Mount Sinai. Well, a performance.
Mm-hmm.
Where they had to work to meet God's approval, and they never made it. You know why they never made it? They weren't what?
Perfect.
They weren't perfect. The flesh was weak. They didn't have the spiritual
maturity.
I won't say acumen, but that's
eyes.
They didn't have
capacity.
Yeah.
They didn't have the spiritual capacity to fulfill God's requirements, because they were what?
They were full
of sin. They were sinful. It could never happen.
They entered into a contract they didn't have the ability to fulfill.
It could never happen. That's why in Romans it says God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin he condemned sin in the flesh. That, you know what? Everything that God's, when we would just stick with the 10 commandments, and he gives you that list, and he says, okay, do that. Well, you can't get past one. So the other 9 are just technical. But he comes, one, and he does them all. And he takes away the old, that he may establish the new. And what that is he's the firstborn of many brethren, because now he's able to give to those people what they need to be productive. He gives to them the spiritual capacity to be sons.
Not based on performance.
Not based on performance. Is that too much? Okay. Verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. If the wages of sin is death, why is he dying? If the wages of sin is death, and Jesus Christ never sinned, what's he dying for? All right, he said, for our sins. Watch this. For it became him for whom are all things. This is 2:10. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto what?
Glory.
To make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Death, what is it, verse 9, he says that by the grace of God, he did what?
Taste death.
Taste for every man. What he did was, it was necessary that he would die, because without his death, there could be no life. He was... Right. Without the whole package, we were born, and yet we were dead when we were born. Well, he was born to die. We were born already dead, and it was just a technicality. But he was born with life, and he was appointed to death that we might have what? That we might have life. Right. He says, for it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in the bringing what?
Many sons.
Many sons unto glory, to make the what? Captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings.
That was his earned part. That he became perfect through suffering for us.
Exactly. You know, and when you think about the word, we think about perfect. Wasn't he already perfect?
Yes.
So in what sense was he made perfect? He became our captain. Matter of fact, that's, you know what? It's kind of like arch, like it's what? First or head. That's what captain is. Perfect. He made him perfect through what? Sufferings. That he might taste death for every man is, let me erase some of this. What does death do for the
absence of the soul departing the body for heaven, right? That word is also in Revelation, where it says, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true, the beginning of the creation of God, which that's where that word arch is used in that verse.
Say it again?
The Hebrew word arch is in Revelation 3:14, it says, it's talking about the church of Laodicea. It says, right, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning, that's that word arch, the beginning of the creation of God.
Okay. Okay. That's the beginning. Okay. In the garden, all the way back here, that's where death was introduced, right? What did death do to Adam as the son? Separated him? Spiritual relationship separated him from God? Anything else?
Dethroned him.
Dethroned him? Yeah. Okay.
From his purpose,
which was what? From the head. I'm not looking for anything particular. All these add up. Anything else? Can you think of?
Thorns and thistles.
Thorns and thistles?
Yeah.
Right? That's as the son, all these, his job was to labor with God. All these things deal with what? The kingdom that was to be there. And when Blake said it was all based on his spiritual capacity to fulfill all these things, in particular to labor with him, which covers all of this. What death did, how was it introduced? Death. How was death introduced to Adam?
Sin.
From sin? How was that introduced?
By not doing what
God wanted?
Let the recording show that when you
obedience. How was
obedience had to come from lack of faith?
Okay.
Believing.
How was that introduced?
Through a lie.
Through a lie? Getting hot. How was that? Through
Satan.
Through Satan. Right. Right. Okay. So his whole purpose, when he introduces sin and the lie and death, his whole purpose was to defeat these. Because what's at stake for him?
The same thing.
So all this is, I can't allow him to maintain his capacity as a son. So death, he introduces death, and it automatically stops what? The whole purpose. The whole plan. So when Jesus Christ comes, he says, I have to destroy
sin and death.
I have to destroy that.
So
to restore what?
Or the plan.
Your capacity to be a part of that plan.
Yeah.
I have to taste that. I have to be your captain. Their captain. Or our captain too. Is that too much? That's too much. Okay, let's go back to Hebrews. I don't know what I'm trying to. When he says that he has to taste death for every man, that's why he's doing it, is to make you spiritually fit. If the kingdom is coming for the Hebrews and he's trying to get them to come with him, he said, listen, guys, the kingdom is at hand. First, I can't have any scrubs in my kingdom. He said, I have to equip you to function with me. Where you are now won't do it. Where were they?
So just like the Lord and God in the garden had to slay an animal, some of them, which for the temporary
solution, right?
And Christ comes credit. Along with a plan from the foundation of the world.
Okay, so that's true. Now, he says that he should taste death for every man, for it became him for whom are all things. All things, you know what? The kingdom, all things pertaining to the kingdom are what? They're his. They're all things are for him, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings, for both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the church. I will sing praise unto thee. This is another psalm. He's talking about what Jesus Christ will do when he comes in that. Is he'll those that little flock that he flocked to him while he was on earth, he equipped them. He called them the children. So when they go out, he says, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And he says, tell you what, I'm going to give you some of this. And you go out and you tell them what? What's the same thing? The kingdom of heaven is at hand, right? And when you go, do what? Give them some of this. Heal the sick. This is your fitness. Raise the dead. Cast out devils. All those things, he says, take some of this and show them what it could be like.
A sample.
A sample. What the previous verses, it said that he was, all this was what? It was a sign of the great salvation that had come to them. It was a sign of the visitation. The visitor was here. Mm-hmm. He says, and again, 13, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. Now, it doesn't finish. You know what it says in Isaiah? I and the children which God hath given me are for signs in Israel of the kingdom at hand. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might
destroy.
He might what?
Destroy
him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage.
So when you're saying he's capacitating them, the final part was removing that sin from them, which meant dying for them.
Which, right, that's, it's and it's not just, you remember when Lazarus died,
yeah,
and he waited, and when he got there, they said, hey, you're too late.
Right.
You're too late. And if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And she said, do you believe that he will live again?
In the resurrection?
Yeah. And I know the, you can do it out here. And he says,
I am the resurrection.
He says, right there, he says, I have the power to destroy death. I have it right now. I don't have to wait. He said, I have it right. Well, he didn't say it then, but that's what he says. I have it. have the capacity to do it right now. Believest thou this? And he said, okay, this is for you. Lazarus? And here he comes. Loose him, death. Loose him, death, and let him go. Well, he didn't say death. I'm adding that. But why do you think he's raising the dead? When he comes, why do you think he's doing all those things?
Well, he was doing them as a sign that he was the Christ.
Because, okay, let me rephrase that. That's why when I put that up there, that's what death is, the obstacle for you to be who God wants you to be. That's the obstacle. That's the big obstacle. That's why, look, the wages of sin is what?
Death.
But the gift of God is what?
Life.
So for you, if God wants to use you, you have to have what?
Eternal life.
You have to. Because his kingdom is what?
Eternal.
Okay. If I don't want him to use you, what am I going to do? If I'm the adversary.
Get you to
die. Huh?
Get you to die.
I'm going to get you to die.
Permanently.
So this is, he says, okay, now, I could pick the fruit. Or I can what? Kill the root. That's why he says, I'm coming to destroy him that had the what?
Power
of death. I can raise them. I can pick them all up. Yeah, I can do that. He said, but I'm going for the root. Sin is part of the root. But it was introduced by the adversary. Because he says, okay, God, you want to use them? You want to use them? Guess what? I'll fix that. And I'll start with your son. I'll start with the one you put everything in his hands. Adam, the first one. He said, I got him. That was too easy. Who's next? I got another one for you. Here comes Cain, Abel. Knocks him out. I got another one for you. How about Noah? Knocks him out. Oh, one more. How about Abraham? All the way, you know what? He finally gets to Matthew 4:4, and he says, this is the son right here. He said, that's him? Let's go.
Let's go to the cross.
He goes, well, the first encounter is in the wilderness. Mm-hmm. If you are... just cast yourself down, you won't die. Because his mind is on you. He's mindful of you.
You know, it was funny because I always thought that Satan tempting Christ, when I think of temptation, I think of sin. But Christ can't sin. So it was almost like the temptation was for him not to reveal his glory or go outside of his father's will, right?
That's the temptation, right? It was for him to not be fully reliant on the Father.
Not to obey.
To obey. It's not to trust in the provision that the Father has made. Mm-hmm. Now, if we're sons, and we are, the story doesn't change. Just the circumstances. Now, the way we get caught, I'm saying us, to get a practical application is the adversary will get you to second guess God's provision, to second guess God's comfort, to second guess God's ability to sustain you through His Word.
To whatever
it is, to second guess the life that's in the Father and His Word.
To insert doubt and disbelief.
And impatience.
Mm-hmm.
So he says, when he gets through all that, and Jesus said this, he says, man shall not live
by every word that proceedeth.
You mean I got it? That's all I got is to trust his word? That's all I got? That's it?
That's a lot.
Mm-hmm. No signs?
Not signs.
Just the word, just what he said. I got to just. That's all I have to go by. That's it.
We're Hebrews, though. We're supposed to be Hebrews.
I got to wait for that. I just. That's all.
Keep acting like a good.
You know what? When Israel came through, that's what he said. He says, "Listen, we go into the land flowing with milk and honey," and they got halfway there, and they said, "My feet hurt. I'm hungry." I'm thirsty.
Yeah, where are the spices?
The garlics and leeks. And the giants
are big.
Now, this is, he says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Where, you know what, he says, I know you're scared, you don't know what's out there. He says, let me go first. Let me go. I got this. Let me go first. And he goes through and he meets it head on, because he already knows he has the capacity to do it. And yet, even when he's in the garden, he's saying, wow.
You're my Gethsemane now.
Yes, you're right. He's saying, wow, this is really about to happen. He says, Father, if there's any way, any other way to do this, nevertheless, I'm completely reliant and committed to you.
That was that humanity coming out.
Plan B.
There's no plan B.
Well, you know, it does say he was tempted in all ways as we are.
Mm-hmm.
And we're always tempted.
What do you think that was when he's seeing what's before him, where, you know what, I've always done
my father's will.
And now I know that I'll be separated.
Yeah.
But I'm doing this to bridge the gap that you could come behind me as a son.
I'd like to say that what you're saying brings to mind that he came down to take the kingdom back from the devil.
Mm-hmm.
And the temptation of the devil was, I'll give you the kingdom. You can have it all. All you have to do is bow down and worship. Instead of on the cross that you're going to have to do otherwise.
Look, you know what? Remember we talked about the image? He says, I'll give it to you. Just don't be his image.
Right.
Be mine.
Right.
Now, we won't stop there, but listen, if I'm saying something, if when I ask you that, it's like, is that too much? Say it's too much, because I don't know what I'm saying. It's too much unless you say it's too much. But I know, I feel like this. When you get to snapshots, that it makes for a bigger, clearer picture.
Sure. And it
sticks
and it resonates.
Sure. And I think when you see it again, you know exactly what's going on. And when you go to the next verses, you know, it just adds to your understanding of what's really going on when you see situations like this. At least that's what I'm thinking when I'm getting ready.
Yeah.
So.
But your thing made sense.
But like everybody's kind
of. Well, I mean, a lot of it for us coming out of church, it's new, but we get it.
Well,
What's wrong? Like just sometimes sitting there trying to see where you're going next with it. Yeah. We're watching and see where you're headed.
Yeah. You're trying to pull verses out of us, and we're not sure because it could be 100 different ones. We're just not sure which one you're clicking on at the moment.
Okay.
Just like you do, but sometimes when you read the Bible and all of a sudden this verse comes to you and this one and this one, if somebody's looking at you, where are you?
Everybody's thinking, right? Okay.
Explain the crown and agony besides the obvious suffering on the cross. You said we got the word agony from crown.
Yes. All right, I'm going to stop this for right now since we're out of time.